chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16 is where we're going to be reading this morning. Mark chapter number 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And I want to talk a little thought with you. This is my favorite story in the whole Bible, and that's the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does my heart good to talk about the resurrection? Does my heart good to remember that Jesus Christ arose from the dead? So this morning I want to talk to you that the stone was rolled away. The stone was already rolled away. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 1. We want to say what a good crowd. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful being the pastor of this church. Got to go out there this morning and have fellowship one with another. Man. Got to hang that white cloth on the cross and take the black off. Then we get to meet in here. You ought to enjoy today. This may be your last Easter. You may be standing by somebody. This will be the last Easter you'll ever stand by. Don't take it for granted. Folks, don't take it for granted. Love one another. Look at one another. Enjoy one another. Boy, God's been good to us. And all I want to do this morning is just preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Mark chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre as the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll away us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked," here's what I want to preach, "they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." Let us pray. Father, we love You and we thank You and we praise You and we glorify You this morning, Father. Father, I thank You that the stone was already rolled away. Lord God, I thank You that You were already out of the grave, Lord God. Lord, I thank You that You didn't need no stone rolled away to walk out. Lord God, You had the power to arise from that grave. Father, I thank You for this day. I praise You for everyone that is in this place. Lord, I pray, Father God, that You move on them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray this morning that Your Spirit would just indwell everybody in this place. If they be one lost, Lord God, I'd ask You to save them. Lord God, if they be one undone, I'd ask You, Father, to touch their life in a mighty way, Father. Lord, I do love You and I thank You. I thank You that the stone is rolled away. I ask You to guard my throat, guard my thoughts, illuminate my mind. Loosen my tongue. Let me only say what I need to say. Don't let me preach a minute longer, and don't let me preach a minute without You. Father, I am in over my head. I need You to touch me in a mighty way. I'm asking You to move this morning. Lord, I love You. I praise You. I glorify You. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people saying, amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning as we come, the stone was rolled away. As you go throughout the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them Gospels record that the stone was rolled away. But here when we come, Mark's account of the resurrection of Jesus is the stone was rolled away. Can I say to you this morning that Jesus didn't need a way out? That stone was not rolled away that He may find a way out. That stone was rolled away that we may be able to look in, that we may be able to get in. This morning I want to say to you that the stone being rolled away gave proof that a grave could not hold Him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 55, the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory?" So if that stone being rolled away gave proof that the grave was empty, what proof did it give us this morning? I say to you this morning, He didn't need the stone removed because He is the door. He didn't need that stone removed to get out because He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning when He came out of that grave, I want to say to you there was proof, number one, because He arose from being crucified. He arose from being crucified. If you look with me in verse number 6 of this text, the Bible says, "And He said unto them," talking about the angel of the Lord, "be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. He behold the place where they laid Him." You say, "Preacher, what does that mean? He was arose from being crucified." Friends, I want you to know, everybody had done seen the crucifixion. If you'll look with me into chapter number 15, in verse number 15, they had already seen Him scourged. They had already seen Him beaten. They had already seen Him take 39 stripes. They had already seen Him beaten by a cat of nine tails. He was beaten for you and he was beating for me. The Bible says in Mark 15:15, and so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered unto them Jesus. And we had scourged him to be crucified. He had already been arose from being crucified. You say, preacher, what did he do? They scourged him in verse number 15. But look with me in verse number 19. I want you to know there were more to it than just the crucifixion on the cross. I want you to say, nobody in this congregation would be able to stand what happened up to the crucifixion, but what happened in Jesus' life. Not only did they scourge him, but in verse number 19, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and they bowed their knees worshiping him. You said, preacher, what did they do? They scourged him and they beat him and they plucked his beard out and they put a crown of thorns on his head and they spit in his face and they mocked him and they spit on him. And you say, who did they spit on? They spit on my Savior and they spit on your Savior, and he was crucified for you and he was crucified for me. But not only did they scourge him and not only did they smote him and they spit upon him, but look with me in chapter 15 and verse number 24. As I get thinking about this, man, I want you to know it gets all over me. Not only did they do that, but they made a mockery out of him. In verse number 24, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments. Preacher, what did they do? They parted his garments. They left him there naked for all to see. Friends, can I say to you this morning, casting lots upon them that every man should take. They started taking his clothes off. They started parting them out. They started doing away with him. No doubt he had been scourged. No doubt he had been smote on. No doubt he had been spit on. No doubt he had been stripped. But I want you to know the most pain that he went through is when he was hanging on that cross and he was dying for your sin and he were dying for my sin on that cross of Calvary. And he says here in verse number 34 of chapter number 15, you say, is the spitting bad? Oh yes. Is the beating bad? Oh yes. Is the crown of thorns bad? Oh yes. But you know where the pain was? Is when he was hanging on that old rugged cross. And in verse number 34, and when he looked up to heaven, he looked up to his Father, and here's what he said. And at the night hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. You say, preacher, what does that mean? He was speaking to his God, and it's interpreted saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what he had to do on that old cross? I want you to know he didn't take just one sin. He took all sin on the cross of Calvary. He was crucified on that cross. He took everybody's sin on that cross. Everybody that had been born, everybody that was born, and everybody that ever will be born. He bore our sin on the cross of all humanity, and he hung there on that old rugged cross. And when he looked up, he said, Father, Father, Father. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Out of everything that he went through, when God separated himself from his Son, that was the ultimate pain. You say, why did he turn his back on Jesus? Why in the most critical hour did he turn his back on Jesus? He turned his back on Jesus because a holy God can't look on sin. A holy God can't look down on sin. And I want you to know, a man that knew no sin became sin on that cross. He took on the sin of the whole world. And as people get tired of hearing that story, but that is the story of salvation, that he bled and died on that cross that we may have life. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He was separated from his Father that you and I don't have to be. He was separated from the Father. He was separated from God of glory so that you and I wouldn't have to be. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? He arose from being crucified. I want you to get this morning. When that stone was rolled away and they ran and they looked in, they realized that he was arose from being crucified. You say, what's that big deal? Friends, I want you to know they seen him. They seen him die on that cross. But I want to give you this. Not only did he arise from being crucified, but he is alive even though he was scrutinized. He arose from being crucified, but he's alive today even though he was scrutinized. You know what scrutinized is? That was when somebody watches you, they mark you, they've already got you labeled. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? I want to give you this, if you'll help me here, if you will. Look in verse number 7 of our text, Mark chapter number 16, and verse number 7, he said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Why do you want old Peter to know? Old Peter, the last time he had seen our Lord, he had denied him. The last time he had seen our Lord, he had swore he didn't know him. The last time he seen our Lord alive, I want you to know he was down and out. But you know what the Lord will? He'll never leave you down and out. He'll never leave you where he found you. He'll always go and say, get so and so. He said, go tell the disciples and get Peter and go before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. And he said unto you, I see he's arose from being crucified, but also he's alive, even though he was scrutinized. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? That stone was rolled away. There was people that seen he was crucified. I've never seen him crucified in the flesh, but in the spirit I know he has been. And today I stand before you and I say this, he is alive even though he was scrutinized. Look with me, if you will, Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 44. You say, preacher, how did they know? How do you know he was scrutinized? Friends, I want you to know when he died on that cross, it just wasn't over then. They watched him all the way through to the third day. They kept watch on him. They didn't want him to rise from the grave. Why, preacher? Because they knew that if he did, it was going to cause chaos. If he did, it was going to turn the world upside down. If he arose from the grave, you and I was going to have hope. We was going to have peace. His death on the cross wouldn't. Listen, there's a lot of men died on the cross. There's a lot of men suffered pain and suffered persecution. But listen, there's only one ever rose from the grave that could save your life, and his name is Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hey, friends, I want you to know they scrutinized him. They watched him all the way through. They didn't take an eye off of him. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Here in verse number 44, O Pilate, he's sinning. Here's what he said. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. He couldn't believe that he was already dead. Friends, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, he wasn't asleep. He wasn't taking no nap. He wasn't rested. The Bible said he was dead. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. He died for your transgression. He died for my transgression, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him one of the centurions. What did he call? He called a centurion, somebody in authority, somebody that would know. And he asked him whether he had been already dead. He said, is he already dead? I'm telling you, he was scrutinized. They examined his death, but they was also certain of his death. Look with me, if you will, in John chapter number 19 and verse number 34. You say, preacher, what do you mean by this? They was making sure that he was already dead, that he was already gone, that there was no life left in him. I want you to say to this, they examined his death, but also they were certain of his death. John 19 and verse number 34, I want to show you this. You say, preacher, why was that? Because they wanted to make sure he was dead. Friends, oh, glory to God. They wanted to make sure. But you know what? That plays to his benefit. You can crucify and you can scrutinize him, but he's still the Son of God. Look what he said in verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear. He was done dead. He had done gave up the ghost. He was done dead on the cross. He was done dead. And one of the soldiers came, and look what happened. With the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Why did he do that? They was making sure. They wanted to know he was dead. They was tired of him. They was tired of him. They didn't want nothing else to do with him. They wanted to make sure that Jesus Christ was dead. They didn't want nothing else to do with this man. The man that could save their soul, they didn't want nothing to do with him. And they examined him. They were certain of his death, and they guarded his death all the way through. Turn with me to Matthew 27 and verse number 64. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 64. I want to show you this. Not only was he had been scrutinized, they examined his death. They were certain of his death and they guarded his death. Why? Because they didn't want him to raise again. So they watched him very closely. And look what command was given to them. He says this. Let's go to verse 63. They said this. They said, sir, we remember that deceiver. See, they thought he was a deceiver. Said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. He said, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. What did Pilate say do? He said, go scrutinize him. Go make sure he don't get up. Make sure he's dead. He said, roll you a stone in front of the grave. Roll you a stone in front of it. Put you some guards set out there. Make sure he's dead. Make sure he don't wake up. Make sure he ain't just a playing. Make sure his disciples don't come get him. Hey, can I say to you, he's not there no more. Amen. He's not there no more. So Pilate said to them, you have watch. Go your way. He said, I want you to make sure as you can, to the best of your ability, you make sure that he don't come alive. Can you imagine that? Make sure he don't come out of that grave. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Can you imagine what went on that night? Can you imagine what went on them days as it rolled on? They had it sealed. as sure as they could seal it. But can I say to you, on that third day, Jesus Christ came forth. He came forth and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. I say to you that to say this. The stone was rolled away. He didn't need a way out. We needed a way in. You think he was done gone before the stone was rolled away? Well, Lord, yes. You said, what do you mean, preacher? I want you to get this morning. When he called Lazarus forth out of that grave, Lazarus had to walk out of the grave. He didn't have power to raise himself up. When Lazarus walked out of that grave, he walked out with grave clothes on. Jesus Christ had to say, loose him and let him go. Nobody, when Jesus Christ came forth, he left his grave clothes. He left his grave clothes. Listen to me this morning. I'm not talking about just a man. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about the Savior of the world. He was crucified, but he still arose. I want you to know he was scrutinized, but he's still alive. And ain't nothing no man can do with it. It's the greatest story in history. It is real this morning. You say, preacher, what does that mean in my life? He's arose and been crucified. He's arose from it. He's alive even though he's been scrutinized. And this morning, he's available to you and I, and we must recognize. You got to get your head out of the sand. You got a living Savior that lives, and you got to recognize that in the life you live in. Let me show you this, and if you go back to Mark chapter number 16, I want to show you this afternoon, this morning, before we dismiss and go home here a little bit. I want to show you, say, preacher, what can he be in my life? What can he be to me? Look with me, if you will, in Mark chapter number 16. I love this. He is available, and we must recognize it this morning. And in Mark chapter number 16, look with me, if you will, here, as we go into the Bible in verse number 15, and here's what he said. And he said unto them, go. What do we recognize? We recognize his command that he wants us to go. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, why do you do that, preacher? I say to you, he's available this morning to you because he is a living Savior. He's available to save this morning. He is available to save because he arose from the grave. John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am that resurrection. He is alive this morning. He is the living Savior. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You say, preacher, what do you have to do to be saved? Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe that he was crucified, that he was put in a borrowed tomb. He laid there for 3 days, and on that third day he arose again, and he is seated high and lifted up. You must confess your sin. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, and he will come into your life. This morning I want you to know he is a living Savior. You say, how do you know that this morning? Because he's not dead. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, all these signs shall follow them that believe. Let me stop there and say this. He's not only a living Savior, but he's a loving Savior. He took your sin and my sin on the cross, was crucified, was scrutinized, but he still loved you. Every time they spit in his face, you know who was spitting in his face? You and me. You know, every time the nails was driven in his hand, you know who drove them nails in his hands? You and I. You know, when he shut that spear into his side, you know who done that? You and I. He said, preacher, you believe that? I believe that so much. That's how you get a glimpse of Calvary. When you realize that soldier was you. You realize that soldier was you. You put it in a personal term, that soldier was me. This morning, not only is he a living Savior, but he's a loving Savior. Even though he died on that cross, he's alive today. And he loves you and he loves me. Turn with me, if you will, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. He loves you and he loves me. He arose from that grave that he can have a fellowship with us. That we can have fellowship with him. Ephesians 2, 5. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I see this morning he's a living Savior. I see this morning he's a loving Savior. And I see this morning he's a listening Savior. He listens. He listens. Not only does he stand at the door and knock, but he listens. He listens. And this morning, he may be calling somebody out of their grave this morning. He may be calling somebody forth this morning. Man, I want you to know this morning, I thank God for Easter. I told my folk weeks in and weeks out, this is what we do every week. This ain't something we just do one time a year. It's something we do every week. We worship a living Savior. He's alive and he's well. And there's not nothing he can't do. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter what's going on, no matter what pain you're going through right now, no matter how much you think you've been crucified, you haven't. He has. No matter how much you think you've been scrutinized and people talk about you and run you down, you ain't. He has. For no reason they treated him that way. For no reason they treated him that way. But just because he was a just man doing the right thing, doing what God had called him to do, to come and die for your sin and die for my sin on an old rugged cross. When they put him in that tomb, can you imagine? Can you imagine all the old naysayers? Yeah, he won't. It ain't real. He's gone. But can I say to you, he's a listening Savior. I may be talking to somebody in here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm just about too far gone. You ain't too far gone. I got relationships that's too far gone. They're not too far gone. Nothing in your life is too far gone if you'll put God right in the middle of it. If you'll put God right in the middle of your life, right where you need him, and not let him be your co-pilot, but let him be your pilot. See, the problem with a lot of us has got, we want him to be the co-pilot. And he's not fighting to be co-pilot in nobody's life. He won't. He's either Lord of all or he ain't Lord at all in your life. He's either above everything in your life or he ain't going to. He will not take second place. Don't you ever think he'll take second place to anything or anybody. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be Lord over your life. You say, why, preacher? That's why he went to the cross. He could be Lord. He could be your king. He could be your Savior. He could be what you need. Psalm 34:6, Brother David, put that up for me. He said, preacher, how do you know that? Because I know that if you'll get to the place in your life, he'll listen to you. He went to that grave and he rose again that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Psalm 34:6 says this, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. There's not a mama in this room or a daddy. There's different kind of cries. When you let your kid cry and it's a fake cry, mama knows it. I've seen other mamas get panicked and run to that baby, and other mamas say, ain't nothing wrong with him, it's fake. Man, we shouldn't have ate breakfast this morning. There's a heaviness in here. Too many biscuits. But I have. I've seen mamas, and that mama says, oh, there ain't nothing wrong, it'd be okay. And the other mamas look at that mama like, what are you talking about? Said, it ain't real. They ain't hurt. But I also seen them same babies cry with a real cry. And that mama don't do nothing but just take off. Why? Because they know a real cry from a fake cry. They listen. They listen. God's not only a living Savior. He's not only a loving Savior. But he's a listening. And he's waiting this morning. If we're going to read on into Mark chapter number 16 where it says he said it, you prayed it while ago on the right hand of the Father. What's he doing on the right hand of the Father? Get this morning. There's not nobody in this room got access to God only through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have no authority to go to God but through the blood. He is our high priest. He is our intercessor. He's the one that takes over for us when we pray. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit gives us utterance to pray. What are we praying? We're praying to Jesus Christ. He's taking it to God for us. When we mess it up and we don't know what to say or how to say it, and that prayer don't even know if it works. You know what Jesus does? He interprets it for us to the Father. Why? Because we get selfish. We get prideful in our prayers. Jesus doesn't. And he says, I know when you're real and when you're not. And then he says this in Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This morning I want to ask you a question. Do you know this Jesus I'm talking about? Do you know this Jesus that I'm talking about? I'm talking about the one that was crucified and rose again. I'm talking about the one that was scrutinized. Everybody's seen it, but he rose again. He said, yeah, preacher, I know him. Well, you must recognize him as a Savior. You must recognize him as your Father. Not the man upstairs. That's no relationship. When you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll know it. He said, go and teach them all. Tell them all. And I want to show you this where he is seated today. You said, preacher, where is he at? He's seated by the right hand of the Father. That's how I know that the stone was rolled away. That stone was rolled away that I may look in, that you may look in. I want to ask you, do you got a stone on your heart this morning that needs to be rolled away? Maybe you got a stone this morning in your life that needs to be rolled away. Maybe you got something in your life this morning you say, preacher, I just don't know what to do. Let God roll it away. Let God roll it away. He said, what do you mean? Them women, they couldn't roll it away. They said, what are we going to do when we get there? We ain't got nobody to roll a stone away. You know who can roll away a stony heart? Jesus Christ. Let me show you this right here. Let me show you this. Here's what he said. Verse 19 of Mark 16. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, Mark 16, 19, and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. This morning I ask you a question. Has the stone been rolled away from your life? If it has, somebody ought to be able to look in and see the Savior. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Father, I'm asking you right now to move on this service in a mighty way. Father, I'm asking you to touch this service like never before. Father, I'm asking you during the time of invitation that somebody would see their need for you, that somebody would recognize who you are and what you want to do in their life. Father, I praise you, I glorify you, I lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. Bless this congregation. Bless this time of invitation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we don't have to add to or take from. Thank you that we need nothing more than that you are risen. All that you went through, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Lord, have your will. Have your way. In the blessed name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen.